Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on August 28th, 2020. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That is what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. This is what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us as co-host, the CEO and president of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Kelly Stroman, and of course with us because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com, and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Normally, she's with us, but today she won't be with us. She's out catching the biggest fish ever caught in that particular river, or at least that's the story we're going to hear, Kelly. How are you today?
Good morning and happy Friday, Joe. I am well, and I am so happy that Jackie is taking some time off and, you know, getting outside, going outward bound. Hopefully she's completely unplugged. She's somewhere fishing remote and having a good time. So important to rejuvenate the mind and the soul always, but particularly this year. And I'm going to say this year, like not like right now, but this year. What a crazy time. So I'm happy for her that she's out and enjoying.
Yes. There's nothing like nature to do that. So hopefully she's going to have a great time, her and John.
Yes. We'll have plenty of I caught a fish this big when she gets back, right?
Right. So many things going on. School is starting.
School has started in Manhattan Beach on Wednesday. I can say, you know, all the kids went back to school in their living room, right? It's all online. Google Classroom, I'm hearing, has at least the school district here is using. You know, in the spring when they had to immediately shift into online classes, they were using Zoom. And I think I'm not familiar with Google Classroom yet, but apparently that is what they're using. It affords them different options, you know, I think. And they are holding the kids to their schedule. So, you know, no longer just checking in on Zoom and then doing, you know, doing a little bit of work and they're holding it full classroom style, and you have to be in your whatever period you're in. You know, you bounce from classroom to classroom, and you have to be there. I actually bumped into two former neighbors yesterday evening, and one is in eighth grade and one is in ninth grade. And I said, "How was day two of, you know, of the new normal, as we say?" And they said, "It's okay. It's, you know," they're really sweet kids, but they're like, "Oh, it's all right. It's different, but it's just the way it is, you know." So, yes, you know, the kids are adapting. Parents are certainly continuing to adapt, and you know, a lot of families in the younger grades and ages are doing like the learning pods, you know, and they have whatever, let's just say, you know, three or four kids get together at one house you know, one day, and they have some these learning pods. They have actually have an instructor that meets at that house or wherever they're meeting, and guides them through their day. So the parent, you know, if they have to work or can get work done, whether at the house or they have to go to their job or whatever, you know, and then they switch homes or whatever. But everybody is being creative. We continue to be creative in this year known as 2020, and we'll see. You know, hopefully at least mid-year, if not sooner, we can get the kiddos back into the schools. And I know the district has a five-phase process of who will return to school and kind of at what level, you know, and starting with kids, you know, with special needs and cognitive, you know, needs, they'll go back first, and then the younger grades and so on and so forth. So they have a plan, and they're ready as soon, you know, as they can, but it's going to be a little while. But today we are expecting some announcements from the governor this afternoon. Drum roll, please. We don't know what that will be, but he has promised some announcements, and he promised, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, he said they will not be more restrictive announcements. They will be, you know, hopefully some little openings here and there. Obviously, you know, with you know, strict protocols and probably capacity, you know, restrictions, but I think we're going to start seeing a few little openings, which is good news. Everybody needs to, you know, be safe and not go crazy and stay, you know, keep that facial covering on, because I think that's pretty much the number one way to protect yourself, you know, from the aerosol effect of COVID-19. So we'll hope there's some good announcements coming our way. Let's see, this week in Manhattan Beach, we celebrated and continue to celebrate women's suffrage. And, you know, the ratification of the 19th Amendment was 100 years ago this week. And on Thursday night, Wednesday night, two nights ago, City Hall in Manhattan Beach lit up with purple and gold lights to commemorate, those are the colors identified with women's suffrage. And I understand that those lights will be on every night for the next month. Some people think it's in honor of the Lakers or Kobe Bryant. And time, although the colors are fitting, this is for women's suffrage. So, you know, women have come a long way. And obviously we have a lot of leaders always on the show, but it's kind of fun. So if you're in or around downtown Manhattan Beach at night, please drive down Highland Avenue to 15th, and you can see City Hall all lit up. It's beautiful, you know, with the flag waving and the light gaze. It's just gorgeous and different. So that was a fun little celebration that we had on Wednesday night. There are several stores along Manhattan Avenue and a few on Manhattan Beach Boulevard that have decorated their stores with purple and yellow lights. You'll see big kind of sash banners that say your right to vote or women's suffrage or something. Page's Bookstore has decked out their entire, you know, window with women's books and everything. Blue Diamond Jeweler has purple and yellow lights to commemorate it. Some of the restaurants have done it. Love and Salt, I know, has decorated their outdoor dining deck. Gumtree has a little, you know, decoration. Beach City's Optometry has lit their building. They had the King's mural, so now they have all the lights. So that's, you know, kind of fun. So if you're near the area, just cruise through in the evening after the sun goes down, and you'll see some, you know, some pretty lights, which is always fun. We always see that at Christmas time, but getting a little festive early this year. I think we all could use that, right? You know, a little fun. Yes.
Last I heard, 37 of the Fortune 500 corporations are shepherded or helmed by women. 37 out of the Fortune 500 have female CEOs. And that's not representative of the talent that, you know, half of our population brings to the table for corporate America. So we have we have some work to do.
Yes, if my math serves me right, that's less than 10%. So we need to work on that for sure. There's probably more today than there was 20 years ago and 50 years ago. So we're heading in the right direction, which is, and there's a lot of women who are now in very powerful positions. You're seeing that maybe they're the head of the studio or this or that, and, maybe they're not the CEO quite yet, but you're seeing some big, big positions being filled by very talented and very intelligent women. So that's exciting. Okay, a couple other things. Let's see. We had a new store open last weekend, founded 1912. It's a bathing suit swimwear store. It went into the former space occupied for decades by Diane's Swimwear. So there's another swimwear store there now, and God bless them for opening in a pandemic. Not easy for anybody right now, and they are open and rolling. Last night, we had a big celebration with a few people because during COVID-19, we can't have large gatherings, right? Not a smart idea. And so we celebrated the 40th anniversary of Super Sports. If you remember, we had Renee Sandera on last week, I believe it was. Yep. And so last night we had their 40th anniversary ribbon cutting. It was the first gathering and ribbon cutting for the Chamber of Commerce since the pandemic. They broke us out of, the mold, and super important to celebrate any anniversary, but particularly, 40 years is a long time. And he's been in the mall area the entire 40 years, moved locations across the parking lot once, has survived several mall remodels, has survived the recession, and is surviving the pandemic. And we were happy to celebrate with him. The mayor and councilman, Hildy Stern, also showed up, and a few other people. And we had a really fun, little gathering, and they were so pleased. And they actually had some old pictures out of, like, when the store first opened and their first ad. I think it was either the Easy Reader or the Beach Reporter. I don't remember which paper, but super fun to see, the history, and they were so grateful. But if you're listening and you need some new sportswear, tennis shoes, tennis rackets, other things, use your racket for showing, please go over to Super Sports and support them, because they're wonderful people. They've given back to the community for years, and just a really special story. So the other news I have is last weekend was the White Light White Night with Walk with Sally. I know our friends over at Walk with Sally, Nick Arquette, and they had their virtual fundraiser last weekend. Went very well, very fun. They, zoomed into other little mini parties that some of the sponsors and guests were having, and a little mini concert by Michael Franti. He's kind of got a little reggae vibe and really perfect music for the occasion, and raised a lot of money. I don't have the final number yet, but they raised a lot of money for their program, which of course provides mentorships for kids and families that are either going through cancer or who have lost a parent to cancer, and they match the mentor with the mentee, and then they're a partnership until that child goes off to college and usually beyond. Usually, most of the ones I know, they keep that partnership into college and really for a lifetime, and such a great program. So, it's been kind of a festive week, I would say. And I always look for the silver lining in everything and the positive, and there's a lot of good out there. We're all still navigating and struggling and making our way through here, but there is always plenty to recognize and to celebrate. So we have to find, those wonderful little things, because they are there.
They are. And we have a wonderful guest that's going to help us catch some of the perspective of the good side of difficult times. That's a good way, a good segue. The good side of difficult times, you have to look to the bright side. And so, without further ado, Kelly, who's our guest today?
Absolutely. And forgive me in advance, there's some really big words in her bio. I'm not a medical expert, so if I mince a few of these words, it just proves that I'm definitely not in the medical community. Okay, here we go. Our guest this morning is Dr. Martha Koo, Medical Director of the Neuro Wellness Spa in Manhattan Beach. Dr. Koo completed her undergraduate studies at Princeton University, where she graduated magna cum laude, and her medical training at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA, where she earned membership to the AOA and the Sigma Psi Society for Academic Excellence. Dr. Koo obtained her psychiatry residency training at the Resnick Neuropsychiatric Institute at UCLA and her subsequent psychoanalytic training at the New Center for Psychoanalysis. She is board certified in psychiatry and board certified in addiction medicine. For over 20 years, Dr. Koo has enjoyed her private practice providing outpatient psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, and pharmacological treatment for individuals, couples, and families. A pioneer in the development and application of transcranial magnetic stimulation, Dr. Koo opened the South Bay TMS Therapy Center in 2009. She is certified in the application of NeuroStar TMS, Brainsway Deep TMS, and MagVenture TMS Therapy. South Bay TMS has evolved into the Neuro Wellness Spa, where Dr. Koo is medical director and offers IV ketamine, IV nutrition, and here we go, photobiomodulation, along with TMS therapy. She's on the board of directors of the Clinical TMS Society. Additional, Dr. Koo is the medical director and clinical supervisor at Clear Recovery Center. She is an active member of the American Psychiatric Association, the New Center for Psychoanalysis, the Clinical TMS Society, the American Society of Addiction Medicine, the American Society of Ketamine Physicians, the California Psychiatric Society, and the Southern California Psychiatric Society. She is also a guest lecturer at the New Center for Psychoanalysis and the Los Angeles Psychoanalytic Society and Institute. This morning, we're going to learn about the various treatments Neuro Wellness Spa offers, how you can benefit from them, and the overall effect COVID-19 is having on our mental health. Welcome to the program, Dr. Koo. Thank you for joining us this morning. How are you?
Oh, sorry. She was muted.
Production. So.
There you go.
Thank you.
Now she's there.
Thank you. Super happy to be here. Thank you, and really appreciate a platform to discuss mental health. As you both are aware, it's a really important issue right in our society, and especially with COVID. So I just think it's great that you're giving the community an opportunity to focus on mental health.
Well, it's important, and we've talked about it so many times, but, you know, boy, do we just need to keep talking about it and giving everybody their options. So I'm glad you're here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We're very glad you're here. These times, we talk about the economic turmoil. We talk about the obvious medical impact that COVID-19 has had on our global medical state, the global community that's dealing with this. We talk a lot about the deaths in the United States, but we can scarcely imagine that the counts around the world are not accurate. Over, it seems like, 500,000 people died because of this this terrible affliction. It's really become quite a story historically. And so that brings us to mental health. There is no question that people have been struggling in every way, shape, or form, but mentally, both for children, for adults, of course, but for children, either seeing their parents struggle or struggling on their own without the, you know, capabilities to go to school and to you know, gather with their peers and so forth. Sports, the lack of team sports. It's a lot, but I'm going to ask you, Dr. Koo, to give us an overall picture of the relationship of 2020 to the last 5 years in terms of the need for greater access to mental health in our country?
Yeah, that's a great, great question, Joe. And I think I'll even go back to what you said in the beginning, though, in the segue to me, which is, you know, the idea of some good times, even in this very, very difficult time, because I think there's been a mixture. You know, so compared to 5 years ago, we, even without the pandemic, right, I think everyone is aware we've been seeing rising issues of depression and anxiety, particularly in our teen population. We've been seeing rising levels of suicide, unfortunately, rising levels of addiction. So I would say that, unfortunately, has been a trend even before the pandemic. I think, however, the pandemic has brought about some really, really wonderful things for mental health. I think even like us talking about it today, I think it's brought a discussion about mental health much more to the forefront because of what everyone's dealing with. I think people are more comfortable talking about their feelings and their struggles, and I think that will do wonders for mental health moving forward. Psychiatry per se, you know, having to switch to telehealth and a telepsychiatry platform for many organizations has certainly improved access to care. I mean, there's a lot of remote areas of the United States that have very poor access to mental health, and having now a way to be able to see a clinician, you know, even in another state, I think has really improved access to mental health care. So I do think sort of the discussions around it will improve with the pandemic. As you say, the sad part is, yes, it's a very historical time, and we're used to hard times financially, like look at the Great Depression, we're used to losses, we look at, you know, wars we've been in, but we've never really had a time where we've combined real fear of death and mortality and morbidity with economic distress, and then with the social isolation and the quarantine. And I think that's the piece that makes this time so historically different, right? And as Kelly was mentioning, like with the schools, it's, you know, I think some of the concerns of mental health are what are we going to see right in a few months? So, you know, in psychiatry, we talk of almost like a secondary pandemic, because there's going to be a lot of loss and mourning, as you say, for people who have lost loved ones and friends. How is the social isolation going to impact particularly the populations we know are more sensitive to that, which are the you know, the kids and the teens and then the elder adults? We know cognitively, you know, socialization is incredibly important for maintaining cognition in the elderly. And, you know, it's such a vulnerable population. I have a lot of patients whose parents are in, you know, residential senior living centers, and they're really in their rooms, right, with food delivery, and they're not allowed to visit. And I think some concerns about even like a PTSD response for people that have suffered COVID and been in the ICU and but done well and survived and gotten out. It's the idea of then we really need to be focusing on their mental health. It's not just physical recovery, but that experience has been pretty traumatic, and usually in the absence of the support of loved ones because they haven't been able to be at the bedside. Some good things and some, right? You know, I think the good things is, like I mentioned, we'll have good access, and I think we're talking about mental health. I think people, as Kelly also said, have been really creative in this time. You know, families have done picnics in their backyard and camping event. You know, there's more family time, and people have time to exercise and have better nutrition. And then there's this side that we just have to be very mindful of and pay attention to, that people are getting the proper care.
In these times when we have greater access to mental health professionals, potentially it's more acceptable to access these services over Zoom and all the other remote technologies that we can use now, so more people will get access to them, and it's less expensive for some people, transportation-wise and other ways. But also there's a transformation potentially of modalities. Now people are talking about, you know, non-surgical, non-medical treatments for even depression. And that's where it brings us to the topic of TMS. Can you give us a definition of TMS and where it has been and where it is going.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite topics. And it's been, I think, probably the best thing that's happened to psychiatry probably since the origins, certainly in my professional career. So TMS stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. And it actually was FDA approved in 2008. It's been around for a long time as a bona fide, you know, treatment. And it's another good example of sort of a sadness to me that people are still so unaware of something that's really been FDA approved and is so effective, you know, for 12 years. What we do is we use a high intensity magnet to focally stimulate the neurons that we know really are not firing well in depression. So a quick way to think about it is almost like physical therapy for your brain. So we know enough in neuroscience to know exactly sort of which neurocircuits in our brain are not functioning well for dealing with depression or anxiety. And so we can actually target those specifically. The treatment is really well tolerated. There's pretty much no side effects. Some people get a little headache the first day. That's pretty much it. You know, you do feel a tapping on your head where the magnetic pulse is going through your hair and skin and scalp. There's nothing really tapping, but, you know, it's like if you held two magnets together, you know, and you feel that pressure in between. It's that pulse of energy that you feel. It does require that a patient come 5 days a week. They're usually in and out about a half hour, and you come five days a week for 6 weeks, and then there's about six sessions over a three-week taper. You drive yourself to and from. You know, you're fully alert and awake during the treatment. We include a big component of a therapeutic element too, talking about health and nutrition and exercise and spirituality and just education on depression and during those sessions also. But otherwise, people can sit and they can meditate. They can watch lovely things on television or just a sitcom if they want to watch any show. So they're fully alert and awake, and it's more than twice as effective as antidepressants. So we know medically that only about 30% of individuals with depression will be in remission after a medication trial, which is really low if you think about it. You know, 7 out of 10 people are left with significant depression. If you try several more meds, usually you can capture about 50% of the people. So that still leaves half the people undertreated or with substantial medication side effects. So TMS has about a 70% remission rate, 80-85% response rate, really high, with none of the side effects we see with medications. You know, no dry mouth, no weight gain, no insomnia or sedation. It's pretty remarkable. And you usually see a patient usually starts feeling better within the end of the second week, so around session 10. So they also, it also works faster than a medication. And it's really, like I say, FDA approved since 2008. It's on the vast majority of insurances as a fully covered benefit. And so it's really important that people understand that modality is out there for depression.
I'm having one of those moments, Kelly. I mean, anytime you can take an existing large scale issue in society and say this treatment is 100% more effective, it's safer, it's non-chemical, non-drug related, there's less, you know, potential even for side effects and so forth. And I want to invest. Where do I invest? This is the treatment of the future. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's the treatment of the now. So it's the treatment of the now. And it's a very good investment, right? We should always invest in our mental health. But, no, this is an investment. I've never had a patient unhappy that they did TMS. Right? It doesn't work for everybody, you said. I mean, there's, you know, 15-20% of the people that don't get a response, but that's pretty small.
Yeah.
But even those individuals, they have not been – I've never had a patient be unhappy that they tried it and that they did it. And the vast majority of people are incredibly pleased. And what's interesting is you also – well, it was very interesting for me because when people get better with TMS, it really is a whole different level of better. It's interesting, the better on meds. So it's wow. interesting to see that in patients too, because, you know, some patients, they'll get partially better on their medications, not full
right.
remission.
Right.
But when they really get into remission with TMS, you can see the difference. And that was even surprising to me, I will say. And, you know, when I started doing this in 2009, I would not have guessed that. I would have just thought people would be better. But it is a whole different feeling of better than just on a medication. So it's wonderful.
Now, after the six-week program of doing this, Dr. Koo, does one need to return for a little maintenance, you know, checks and
mm-hmm.
treatments, or mm-hmm. after, you know, mm-hmm. after 6 weeks, what is a patient in store for?
Perfect. Great question. So, yeah, so I, you know, we do consider depression a chronic illness, right? One that we certainly can get fully into remission, and then we do everything we can to keep it there. So, the TMS is not a cure, it's just a very powerful treatment. So at the end of the 6 weeks course, typically somebody, if they've had one medicine that has maybe partially helped and has absolutely no side effects, and we do encourage them to have stayed on that medicine throughout the process, the TMS will get them in remission. And then the one medication is a good way of maintaining a response, right? Not everybody wants to be on a meds, and many people come off, and that's fine too. They just need to understand, right, they're removing one thing that could help in terms of preventing a recurrence of a depressive episode. Then we encourage them to do everything else, right, that they do to support their mood, so their exercise and their socialization and their healthy nutrition and watching their stress, and if they have other modalities of spiritualization or mindfulness. And most people will go at least a good solid year before they have any dips in their mood. It's about 85% of the people will do fine for a year. We outreach to people about every 3 months and check in with them and make sure. Obviously, if somebody's dipping, it's better to come in early than to wait until a full-blown severity of the episode, because people do respond quicker. Insurance covers it every 6 months, so insurance does understand, right, the chronicity of the illness, that they will cover it every 6 months. That would be, you know, quick for most people to have to return. And then when their mood's dipping, they come back, and we used to be calling booster sessions. Or insurance doesn't cover just a booster. Unfortunately, right now, we're really working hard. Clinical TMS Society, we're really working hard to try to promote that. But they don't cover maintenance TMS or boosters right now. So when somebody comes back, the insurance will cover another 36 sessions, and we usually go ahead and do that. Studies do show more neuromodulation is better, so they will get that and then obviously last longer. But most people pop right back out after, you know, 10 sessions of the TMS. So if we could get insurance on board to cover boosters or maintenance, it would really be preferable. But that they're covering it now is, you know, really helpful for people. So most people choose to do the 36 sessions again to have the most neuromodulation they can.
Okay. Joe, it's time for a station break.
Yes.
Got to remind you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. We bring this to you every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Thursdays is a spotlight on some wonderful restaurant or some need or some wonderful business in the South Bay in general, from El Segundo to Palos Verdes and east to Torrance. The entire South Bay, the best of the best of the entire South Bay at your disposal every Thursday morning. And then, of course, on Friday mornings, we feature all those same areas of life, whether it's school or business or mental health or the best of the best, but with a special emphasis on the city of Manhattan Beach and certainly the members of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, because on Fridays we're proud to be sponsored by the Manhattan Beach Chamber. And so we bring these to you, these hyper-local podcasts, and they're available on every smart Surface, smart speaker, whether it's Google or whether it's Alexa or Siri, just ask for the South Bay Show and it shall be delivered. It's wonderful to be available everywhere, Kelly.
Yes, it is. The show has grown a lot, that's for sure. I have a couple questions. I mentioned earlier that I have to hop off early today. I apologize, but I have a couple questions before I do have to leave. I'm curious, Dr. Koo, I know depression is linked to, you know, a lot of different things, but does the TMS, is it a viable treatment for addiction? Is it a viable treatment for, you know, maybe anxiety? I know anxiety can be linked with depression, but maybe, you know, tell us what else the TMS covers, or if not, you know, I know we're talking addiction too. That's a big, always a big issue, but you know, what else does TMS cover and is effective on?
Yes, absolutely. So TMS is very effective for depression, for OCD, for anxiety disorders, and there's a lot of really good literature for even autism, addiction. It's a tricky situation just mainly because of the FDA approval, right? So the insurance will cover for OCD and for depression. It's an FDA approved for those two indications. However, as you rightly guessed, I mean, essentially the mechanism of action is really stimulating the part of the brain that we know is not functioning well in mental health disorders. And we know a lot about what neurons and what neurocircuitry needs to be assisted, either stimulated or inhibited for anxiety disorders outside of OCD, as well as addiction and autism. So the issue is we have some very good protocols for all those indications that are very much standard of care and with a lot of efficacy. In terms of insurance covered, we can only use insurance for an FDA-approved indication.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then,
we have a great, you know, this is a good one you should know because I've been doing this with fabulous results. Is we have a vaping and cigarette cessation protocol, which has been incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 10 sessions. It's, you know, 16-minute protocol. You come in for 10 sessions only. We do combine a bit of an educational time when they're in the chair with some things about nicotine addiction, and we also do a bit of an exposure response right before we start the TMS with the vape or the person's cigarette of choice. And I've been getting amazing results. Cigarette smokers and vapers who haven't been able to quit, or, you know, usually that's they've quit many times, right? They'll tell you quitting's not the problem. It's staying off of it. So that have literally, like, don't have any cravings. And so we really target that part, and they're able to really stay in remission because they don't have the cravings for the nicotine. So it's been amazing.
Wow.
It's been amazing. Now, yeah.
That's
so that's a great
example
of indication. Yeah.
Mm. We just need to get the word out more. You know, obviously, you know.
Right.
You know, vaping particularly, you know, nicotine use, whatever, in this area in the South Bay, and particularly amongst youth, you know, it's just been on a rapid upwards, you know, increase for a couple of years now. But, gosh, people just need to know about this. So I'm so glad we have you on the show today.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's
and
been,
I,
that's
I, Doctor, I am a longtime fan of Elon Musk. Most people know of Elon Musk as the CEO of Tesla and the CEO of SpaceX, which is located right here near us in Hawthorne. But a lot of people do not know that Elon is very interested in the brain in general, and also is a board member. I don't know if he's the chairman, but he's a significant board member of a company called Neuralink, N-E-U-R-A-L-I-N-K, Neuralink. And they specialize in input and output from the brain, but they do it in a very more physical, they're planning to do it in a much more physical way with actual implanting electrodes and so forth. But transcranial stimulation, I mean, it is almost like when you think about it, many, many, many things that we deal with in our lives are, you know, they begin and end with the brain. And so there are so many different areas that it might be available to treat. TMS might be a huge part of our future, whether it's for space travel or many other things. You know, the whole concept of a long space travel. I mean, the ride to Mars is 2 years, and you know, it's hard to imagine how people can stay mentally active. They can stay physically active. Been a lot of talk about, you know, cryosleep and other ways of getting people to survive, mentally survive a 2-year journey to Mars. Perhaps TMS could be a part of that.
That's a really interesting thought. Yeah, I certainly could see that. Yeah, the Neuralink is fascinating. I think he's right, developing a chip to put in the brain, as you said, to actually help with more like motor functions. People have prosthetic limbs and things like that. I mean, Elon Musk is amazing, right? Obviously a brilliant man and his hands and wonderful parts of science. That's also the advantage of transcranial magnetic stimulation. We've had, you know, because it's non-invasive. So I think we're going to, you know, psychiatry is just a wonderful field to be in now because neuroscience is really taking off. But we've had like deep brain stimulation, which is where they do implant an electrode in the brain and stimulate.
Right.
You know, and it, once again, we can have okay results from that. It's usually a pretty late line of intervention because it's so invasive. Whenever you have a foreign body in your body, right, there's risk of infection and bleed. But we've had that with vagus nerve stimulation where they plant a device also in the body to stimulate the vagus nerve for treatment-resistant depression. I think TMS, because it's non-invasive and it's so well-tolerated, Now, I'd love to be in space and do the first TMS on astronauts in space and see how that goes.
I mean, so many places this can go. We, our colleague, as Kelly well knows, she prepares me extremely well, and she's prepared me with a list of issues that people might have with TMS. And for instance, are there misconceptions that people have about TMS that are widespread?
Yeah, I would think that the biggest misconception people have is they confuse it with electroconvulsive therapy. So what is known as ECT, which is, you know, also people know as electric shock therapy, which is still, it's a very safe and bona fide and efficacious treatment for really severe depression. But ECT involves someone having general anesthesia 3 times a week, actually having a seizure induced, and there's always cognitive impairment associated with that. And because there's also cognitive impairment and anesthesia, you know, people can't be working at the same time. They do ECT and they can't drive themselves to and from the procedures. And I said probably the most difficult thing about ECT is there'll definitely be memory loss. It's usually circumscribed to the time of the ECT, which could be a good, 4 to 12 week process. And so it's hard for people to have big chunks of their life that they have no memory for. Usually doesn't end up with long-term memory impairment. So I think that's the biggest misconception. People think TMS is like ECT and they worry about cognitive issues with TMS. And it's actually just the opposite. We also have, I mean, back to Kelly's question, we have a great bilateral protocol. It's a stimulating protocol for cognitive impairment. We get really good results in individuals. So it actually really helps cognition. most people, when they're depressed, they also aren't thinking as clearly. And we notice, we do some cognitive testing along with the TMS, and we can see improvements in people's thinking. But so that's the biggest misconception, that they either confuse it with ECT or they really worry about that there's going to be some cognitive damage with the TMS. And
right.
It is incredibly
right.
safe, non-invasive, absolutely no cognitive damage. And most people say they are thinking better and clearer. And we actually use it for, you know, cognitive impairment in like age-related cognitive decline or dementia.
Right.
We had a gentleman come
wow.
from Japan. Yeah. Who had Alzheimer's, and it was pretty severe. He could, you know, he'd lost the capacity to like know how to like open the car door and stick on his seatbelt. And, he did our TMS protocol, and his parent, his family was so happy. Like, he could actually get in the car. He could put on his seatbelt. You know, if they said to him in one room, could you go get your book in the other, he could actually go get it. And, you know, a lot of sort of basic things that we don't realize are just so difficult when somebody walks to the other room, and when they get there, they forget what they're supposed to be doing, right? So those were like huge
wow.
markers to see the improvement and how his improved cognition really impact his ability to function. It was really just wonderful. And that's the stuff I love. I frankly cry when I, you know, it's like you see these people look at changes their lives. It's incredible.
Dr. Koo, that's a headlining result.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's big news.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then we sent him home with,
Yes.
Oh, I think you have to go.
I have to jump off, but I just want to say thank you. I know you guys are going to carry on. I can't wait to listen to the rest of the show later, but thank you so much. And we need to have you on again. You have so much information.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank
you. I'd be happy to. Very happy.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Thank you,
and
Kelly.
We'll catch up soon.
You
got it. Okay, bye-bye.
Stay safe. Bye.
Bye-bye. Kelly.
Yeah, then we sent him home actually with a V-Light device, which is the photobiomodulation that Kelly referred to, and it uses a low-level laser therapy to sort of like focally stimulate pretty much what we call the default network in your brain, and it's good for cognition and preventing age-related cognitive decline. And so then he just did, it's a 20-minute procedure you do in your own home. It's just like a little headset. And then we've been tracking him with our little cognitive things, and he's held very well. So it's wonderful.
Do you see the future being home devices for TMS that people can use for various kinds of ailments?
You know, there are companies I know that are working on that. The tricky thing about TMS is the safety of it really relies on proper placement, right, and proper pulses.
Mm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a trick. I think we could get there, and I think that would be fabulous. And I know companies are working on it. To use the, you know, intensity and depth of stimulation that you really need to see the results that we get, you really have to be cautious, obviously, and know, you know, obviously go to a good place with a lot of experience, because it's really about calibrating the device to the individual's head. So when people come in, they don't, it's not like we can just plug the machine on and let it go. We have to calibrate for each individual. So we find the exact amount of magnetic energy that individual needs and the exact placement for them. So the little tricky thing about home device is that you know, if I actually took the TMS device and you know, targeted over your motor cortex, let's just say, and did many, many pulses over your motor cortex, there I could induce a seizure. Right? So that would be very unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had that happen in the office. We never, you know, but I think if it's placed in, not I think, I know, when it's, if it's placed incorrectly, then that's a risk. So the difficult thing about translating to a home device would be to have some mechanism to know exactly, you know, where and how. You could, in my mind, you very much could come up with a device where maybe they go to the doctor's office, it gets calibrated for them. There's somehow the headset's placed in a way that it always is in the same place every time, right? And then they could go home and do their treatments. And obviously the cost effective of that would be huge, right? Because literally the doctor visit would be maybe one every 2 weeks, like, you know, and not having to come into an office every day. That I definitely could envision, right?
Well, I see that TMS is on the brink of a breakthrough of that nature, where there's so many issues that you've covered. Autism, I mean, dementia or cognitive decline. Just the market for cognitive decline is huge.
Right? Huge.
It's absolutely wow. Or cognitive enhancement. People who say, I want to be sharper, more mentally alert. If it's only, you know, if it's 50% effective, it's a blockbuster success.
Right. No, absolutely.
Wow.
And we offer at NeuroWellness, you mentioned it too, we offer NAD infusions also. And that's NAD is a natural substance we have in our bodies. It's in every living cell of our body that's created in our livers. It does decline with age and chronic illness, but it's sort of a super important coenzyme for cellular respiration and sort of gene transcription repair and sort of ATP production, which is the energy powerhouse of the cell. And when you have an NAD infusion, it's the clarity of mind and the better sleep and the better energy that you feel right away is very impressive. And we also know, back to COVID, NAD is not, I want to be very clear about that, it's not a treatment or a prevention for COVID infection, but it's the lower somebody's NAD stores are, the worse their immune system. So, having a really good high level of NAD is instrumental in just health and wellness in general. But for anybody with a chronic illness, especially like gastrointestinal, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, immunological conditions, recovery, pre-op, when someone knows they're going to go in for a surgery or post-op in terms of recovery, an NAD infusion, it is amazing healing capacity and a really important thing we can do just for our health in general.
So
once again, natural thing, right? No medication, just really a very natural treatment.
As I mentioned, my partner, Jackie Balestra, she always prepares me extremely well, and she wanted to cover just the unlikely nature of Neuro Wellness Spa. There are not these kinds of companies in every community. Why is that, and what will it take for a Neuro Wellness Spa to be available to communities across the country?
Well, I think it gets back to what we were starting in the beginning. I think it gets back to people feeling comfortable talking about their mental and physical health in a very open and honest, transparent way. I think that there's still a lot of stigma around mental health. And as long as people are afraid to just, depression is a medical illness, just like hypertension and diabetes. And it unfortunately doesn't get discussed in the same way, right? I think there's still some secrecy and shame around it, rather than, especially addiction, right, which is so prevalent. And I think if people can start feeling comfortable talking about, their personal experiences or people they know, and we can destigmatize it, communities are going to see these sites hopefully blossom up once. I also think, once again, COVID has really brought that around, and people are focused, particularly with our kids, having to do distance learning, and parents worried about the absence of socialization, or clinicians worried about the less exercise or being outdoors, and how that's going to impact mental health. We are just all talking about mental health to a much larger degree. And I think that will really help. Hopefully there'll be a lot of neuro wellness spas everywhere, right? As well as understanding, I think the other aspect of it is understanding the mind-body connection. When we've been creating neuro wellness spas, the idea is, it's not, depression isn't just, treating somebody's neurons that aren't firing well. That is a big, big component. Just like when we treat diabetes, we know the liver is not producing insulin. So we have to find, we give people insulin. But along with that, to get the optimal result, there's a whole body connection. So we look at people's nutritional health. We understand the microbiome and how that affects the mind and mood and anxiety disorders. We look at, their exercise and their spirituality, if they have it, or religion, and their socialization. And that all those elements are really important in someone's physical and mental health. And I think that's partly what I also tried to emphasize at NeuroWellness Spa. You know, our main treatment is TMS, and that's how it started when I had it, but we've added a lot of other interventions that really speak to the whole person, the whole individual. And we're all different, right? And our needs are all different. And I think if medicine, we're working on, you know, more individualized. We offer a test for pharmacokinetically guided pharmacotherapy. So we actually have the ability to look at someone's DNA and look at their liver enzymes and some other serotonin transporter genes and know exactly sort of what medications they might tolerate better or process better, or if they, let's say if they have an MTHFR, it's a transporter gene that's not functioning optimally, you can take methylfolate over the counter. It's a precursor for serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine, so a really important precursor that some people just don't process well. And just taking an oral methylfolate can really help somebody's mood if they have that genetic, homozygous trait. So there's other things that we can do, and I think it's a matter of looking at the individual and all aspects of them and their lives to know how we can optimize our mental and physical health, rather than medicine's really moving away from just treating disease. And I think that's really where we need to go, right? It needs to be more about prevention and more about precision medicine. So individualized medicine and I think preventative mental and physical health, rather than this model of we just treat diseases, right? The absence of disease isn't health, right? Health is much more than that. And I think if communities and clinicians can be focused on that, we will do so much better in terms of our health and wellness in the world.
I couldn't agree more. I think that only begs the question, though. Neuro Wellness Spa is a unique creation. How did it come about? How did it come about that this collection of therapies would be brought together? I mean, did you found?
Yeah, that's
Neuro Wellness.
Well, I did. So, you know, I was for over 20 years, I did psychiatry and psychoanalysis or therapy. And so I had a pool of people that really had really good medication management and really good therapeutic intervention and still weren't completely better. And I've always been interested in being on the cutting edge of medicine and having the most innovative technologies. And so that's how the TMS got integrated in 2009. I had the wonderful opportunity to have a business partner who joined with me in 2016, mainly for me to give me the opportunity to add all these other elements, right, that I wanted to. So to the real, you know, I would credit him and our work together and for the real way that I could add all these, right, because I needed all that support to keep the TMS going. And then it's just been really my interest in looking at innovation and a holistic model. It's just sort of the way I've always thought about people and my drive to have people be happy and healthy. And so one by one, we integrated these. So I integrated the IV ketamine, which we didn't really talk about, but that's a very good treatment for treatment-resistant depression and PTSD and chronic pain. And then after I got that going, then it was integrating the IV nutrition and the photobiomodulation. So it's really just been a goal and a passion and vision of mine to have a bunch of modalities that we can offer individuals because, as I mentioned before, everyone's needs are different. And it's not a, you know, one shop fits all type of treatment when we're dealing with mental health or physical health, I would say. And having multiple modalities is extremely important.
Well, Dr. Martha Koo, Neuro Wellness Spa, it's been amazing having you with us. One of the fabulous businesses here in the South Bay. How can people get in touch with Neuro Wellness Spa? How can they find out more?
Very easy. Well, you can certainly Google us. We'll come up right away if you just do neurowellnessspa.com. I can give you the phone number, which is 877-47-3984. So 877-847-3984 or neurowellnessspa.com. And you can read all about us. And we're just, I'm thrilled to be in Manhattan Beach. It's a wonderful community. I've been a resident here since the early 1990s, and I love my community. So it's
right.
Just a pleasure to be here. We do have sites in North and South Torrance also, to be aware, and Palm Desert. But Manhattan Beach is my flagship and the place I work and love.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a wonderful conversation. Dr. Martha Koo, Neural Wellness Spa. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Joe. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yes, of course. And everyone, stay safe. Look after your physical health. Look after your mental health. And have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.